down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Okay, awesome. So, if we look at this scripture, like, I was just amazed. I was like, God is so wise. God knows exactly what we need and how he cares about us so much that he's given us scriptures to help us in our relationships with people. He starts off by saying friends, live creatively friends. Like, that's straight away indicates that this letter that Paul wrote is addressed in a relationship. Then it says, if someone falls into sin. Okay, I love this part so much because I just saw it through, you know, when you put on your grace lenses and you look through the Bible through your grace lenses, I was like, oh yes, God. Because it says here, falls into sin. It doesn't say that he's a sinner or like, oh no, the world's going to end because you made a mistake. It just says, you fall into sin. You made a mistake. And what comes after that, it says, forgivingly restore him. So how I can make this applicable is to say that when our people around us make mistakes and they do silly things that have negative consequences, the best thing we can do is to forgive them and restore them. And restore is such a beautiful word because it's amazing. Like, I was reading this book called A Culture of Honor by Danny Silk, and he speaks about the word restore. And the ancient history of the word restore comes from like a definition of taking back to royalty. So if I make a mistake and Heidi comes and restores me, what she's doing is she's taking me back to royalty. She's taking me back to being a daughter of God, a new creation. Because when Jesus came, he made us new creations because he died so that God could like take away the old gen, the silly sinful gen, and give this amazing new spiritual gen who is brand new, who is perfect in his eyes. So when I make a mistake, like, it's cool. Remind me of who I really am. Then it says, you might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Like, I thought that was really wise of him to put that there, because if someone makes a mistake, you like, hey, I'll correct you. Don't worry. I've got your back. Like, I'm better than you. But tomorrow, you could be end up doing something stupid, and then you'll need that other person to come to you and say, hey, not cool. You're better than that. So we all can make mistakes, and like, we all here for each other. The next one is, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. I thought this was very cool, because the word oppressed means like, suffering, hardship, burden. And often, like, if you think of someone who's like suffering, they're like low, they're like down. So if I know someone who's going through a hard time, they're burdened by life, like they're on their knees, they're just over everything, God says stoop down. So I'm going to go down to the level and like reach out to them and just share their burden and say, hey, are you having a hard time? And lift that off of them. Like, I thought that was so powerful. And then it says, and so complete Christ's law. And we'll talk about that more just now. And then it says, if you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. So if basically, if you think, hey, I don't care about so-and-so's problems, like, I'm so cool, like, whatever. It's like, basically, you're being a little bit deceived. But it's, yeah, I know none of you guys are like that. Okay. Then it's, okay, my first main point is that out of that passage we just spoke about, I'm speaking about your relationship with others. Like, we are called to have relationship with others. We are the body of Christ. Like, you all need each other. Say, I need each other. I knew it. We need each other. Say, we need each other. Okay, yo, that was so powerfully and passionately said. Okay, then secondly, we have influence. When you are in a relationship with somebody, a friendship, family, you have the power of influence over their lives. Thirdly, it's not about being right and pointing fingers. We all need each other. We all have a role to play in our relationship with people. So I'm not going to go around and be like, oh, so-and-so made a mistake. They're a sinner. Oh, look at what so-and-so's doing, you know, gossiping, da 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 da, as though I'm better than everyone else, because I need people. I need you guys to help me. When I make a mistake, I would love you guys to help me. And then fourthly, it's an attitude of the heart. Like, it's all about your heart and where your heart's at. Like, if I have an egotistical arrogance about me, my heart isn't really in a good place, and that's going to come out through my actions. And fifthly, sin does not define us. Like, when you make a mistake and you sin, you're not a sinner, because God has set you free from sin. You're a perfect amazing, beautiful new creation in Christ. And when you sin and make a mistake, I want to remind you of who you really are. The second part of your relationship with others is that it's a two-way relationship. Like, how many of you guys know a friendship or relationship you've been in where, like, you do 90% of it, and then, like, the other person, like, says, hey, how are you? But you just so badly want to be their friend, and you just so... Is that picture funny? I took them off Facebook. I thought they were really cool. Jason's face is pretty scary there. Like, so you guys know that. Like, we call to meet each other halfway. Like, I need you, you need me. Let's work together in this. It's important to meet people where they're at. So if I'm not going to go be in a relationship with you or friendship with you and be like, oh, you need to be like this, you need to be like this, you need to be like this, it's going to fail. Like that, I can just say, don't even bother being in a friendship with somebody when they're like that. Just meet people where they're at. See them at their level and just love them. It's important to listen to them. And fourthly, the Christ law that I was speaking about, this kind of encompasses, oh, Raymond, you're taking notes. What a legend. just shows you, 20 is the age of rock. I'm 20. Christ's law refers to this one scripture in John 13, 34 to 35. It says, let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you will love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. So love is like the foundation of every relationship. And sure, we show it in different degrees and measures. Like, I'm not going to show my mom the same love that I show my friend. I'm not going to. It's just different kind of love. But underlyingly, the foundation of every relationship and friendship and whatever is love. So I thought, hey, let's put together some skills to build relationships with others. The first one, which I just mentioned, is love. Secondly, compassion. Like, how do you guys know what compassion is like? Does anyone know what compassion is? Okay. Compassion refers to, like, being moved to action. If I see someone who's, like, going through a hard time and I'm like, shame, that sucks. Isn't too much compassion. But if I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you coping? What's things going like? What's your plans? Can I assist you with anything? That leads to action. That's your heart. That's just such a Jesus heart to have. And that leads to a process of action and to restoration. So you'll be exercising your influence, your power as a new creation. You'll be changing lives. It'll be beautiful. Listening and understanding. How many of us love to be listened to? Imagine a world where no one really cares and no one wants to listen to you. All the girls put up their hands. Go, girls. It's an important key for you guys to learn, seriously. If you're a guy and you like a girl, listen to her. even if you don't like her, it's good to listen. But listening listening and understanding. That's also another thing. Like, it's really cool. In psychology, I did counseling last term as a module. And listening, just in the case of, oh, yeah, cool, I'm listening. Oh, yeah, you have issues. Shame, man, that sucks. Like, it's very different to engaging with the person, understanding them from where they're coming from. This is the key to build a good relationship with somebody. And then humility. This is a very good point, especially if you're the kind of person who's used to helping other people. Like, it's important for you to know that you're not the savior of the world, but you're called to make a difference. And that it's okay to need people and be vulnerable and to know that you're also going to make mistakes. So humility in every relationship is just such a beautiful thing. And overall, quality relationships require time and effort and intention. Like, if I want to build a quality relationship with my friend Heidi, I'm not going to be like, see you once a year. We'll chat like once over Facebook on Facebook chats. Hey, how are you doing? What's up? You know, what an amazing friendship I'll have after that. You know, no, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes sacrifice, it takes making it a priority. Like, every person you're in a relationship with, a friendship or whatever, they want to know that they're important to you. Okay, so this is done with your relationship with others. We now move on to Galatians 6, verses 4 to 5. This is also out the Message Bible, but I also have one on the NLT Bible. Okay, it says, I love this, guys, concentrate, it's very cool. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. How cool is that? Make careful exploration of who you are. Like, it just says it there. Take time to explore yourself. And then sink yourself into that. Like, submerge yourself into what you found yourself out to be. The NLT version is also pretty cool. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Yo, I think these passages are pretty key in terms of your relationship with yourself. You should have. It's so cute. You see, Regan, he loves himself, man. I can just see it. Okay. So this little cool little phrase, which I thought God dropped into my heart. I was like, yo, I want to quote this. Jennifer Weir. Okay, I say, how important do you think you are? Like, if you could measure yourself, how important am I to yourself? This indication will indicate to you the level of the relationship that you have with yourself. So if you value yourself intensely, you will actually have a good relationship with yourself. If you have no value for yourself, you have no relationship with yourself. And I realized that this was never told to me when I was younger, how important it is for you to spend time with God and find out who you are. Like, we all know we like new creations. I can go through the Bible and like have all these broad things, but my heart wants more. And I can go to people, tell me who you think I am. I can go to educational psychologists. I can go to teachers. I can go to parents. I can go to grandparents. Who do you think I am? What should I do with my life? But at the end of the day, if you aren't spending time with yourself and figuring yourself out and asking God, show me, like Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Like, he has plans for you. Like, God, challenge God. What do those plans look like? And I love this thing of going back here. It says, don't compare yourself with others. And then it says here, if you get a job well done, you won't need to compare yourself with others. How many of us battle with comparing ourselves to other people in everything? Whether it's cleverness, looks, what else do we compare ourselves to? Money, how much money? What? Sports, how good we are at sports. Okay, so God gave me this little revelation that it's only, listen to this, it's really cool. It's only when you are dissatisfied with yourself that you begin to start to compare yourself to others. If you have a good relationship with yourself and you know who you are, what you're called to do, how God wants you to live your life, he's not going to give you it like in points, like here's the book of Jennifer's life. On Saturday, she will do this, this, and this. No, it's not like that. It's intentional living it out. But what God will help you to do is he'll help you to guide you, because he knows who you are, what your desires and your dreams are, and he knows the best plan to assist you in living the most awesome, cool life ever. Okay, so whenever you compare yourself, stop and say, why am I dissatisfied? What do I need to go back and do and like reflect on and work on? And then the next point is, you are an individual. Like, it's so important. We all trying to look like everyone else. I am totally guilty of this, so please do not think I've got it right. But like, we all trying to look a certain look. We all trying to act a certain way. Like, if we could just all embrace each other as individuals, there wouldn't be a need to compare. There wouldn't be this stereotype we all trying to seek and adjust ourselves and work hard to achieve. But if we just worked hard on being the best we can be, like, how powerful would we be? So, how to build a relationship with yourself. This point I thought was pretty epic. Being alone is okay. When I was a little bit younger, I had a phobia of being alone. Like, I had to be with people all the time. I'd go out the whole weekend, leave Friday, come back Sunday night, and like, I would not focus on myself at all. I'd listen to people, what do they think I should do? You know, like, people would tell me, you need this, this, and this, and this in your life. You need to be like this. And I'm just being tossed and turned. And then when I was alone, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, who am I? I don't even know who I am. So it's important to know that you can go off sometime. Like, and eventually God just told me, he's like, it's okay to be alone. Because you're not actually alone. You're with him. And like, how cool is that? So the one day I just decided I'm going to break free of this little phobia. And I drove by myself one day to Makaranga Gardens. And if you guys know that place there. And I just sat there on a bench for 2 hours with my art journal. And I just focused on myself. Eventually, I was bored. I was like, I need to go now. That's enough alone time. But it's okay to be alone. Secondly, you're important. Your life is lived by you. Okay, guys, how many of us have dreams and desires that matter to us but are not that important to other people? Like, if I have a dream to go overseas, that's important to me. But to someone else, it might be like, yeah, I've been there like 5 times. It's not that great, da 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 da. But I'm going to say, no, it's my life. I want to live it. I'm going to go after it. Thirdly, keep a journal with God and write down the things he says to you, prophetic words. Prophetic words definitely do help you figure out who you are and like the special things about yourself that make a difference. Like, that's really a beautiful thing. Like, I encourage you guys to keep a book of prophetic words that you can look over in your life and be like, God, where's this one? It hasn't been fulfilled. Or you see it fulfilled. You get just so happy and excited because he's working in your life. Write down your dreams. Oh, and this second to last one is pretty darn key. Be able to say no. Like, if you want to have a relationship with yourself, it's saying no. Like, saying no sometimes when people think you should do all these things and people tell you what they think you should be doing and, you know, how you spend your time, it's okay to say no. This enables you to steward your time and your life well. And lastly, take responsibility for your actions and choices. You are who you want to be. No one is going to put a gun to your head and say, have an amazing life or you'll die. You know, no one is going to put a gun to your head and say, if you do not go after your dreams. No, it's your decision. If you want to work hard and achieve your dreams, you're going to have a pretty good life. But if you're lazy and you're like, whatever happens, happens, then your life might not be as great as it could have been, but it can still be good because God is good. The next one is Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Okay, it says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. Now, it's important to know, with sowing and reaping, that we don't sow and reap to get more from God. Okay, is that clear? I'm not going to read my Bible 5,000 times a year so that I get 5,000 blessings. It doesn't work like that. God has given us everything. He holds nothing back from us. It's up to us to just receive it and believe in it. This is talking about living in the world. If I sow selfishness, like how many of you guys love selfish people? Come on, somebody in there. Okay, selfishness. It doesn't have very good consequences in society. If I'm selfish and it's all about me, I'm probably going to offend quite a few people and make somebody unhappy. So, and I don't want that. So what is the alternative? Be unselfish. Live a good life where you love people and people are special to you and you do things for other people. And then you'll get people loving you back. Okay. God just like really put Mother Teresa on my heart, because how this is with like a sowing and reaping thing in the world is like our relationship with life. Like, it's like what you put into society, you can kind of get back. And like, how much did she put into society? Like, she changed the world. And like, look at what she says. She says, by blood, I'm an Albanian. By citizenship, an Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. Like, she just decided, I'm going to make life amazing. I'm going to put into this world. I'm going to give them what I've got to give and make a difference. And like, this whole thing of your relationship with life, like, it was amazing because I went onto the internet and I found this quote by her, and it was all about life. So if we can read this together, I thought, why not? Okay, so we're going to start together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Life is an opportunity. Benefit from it. Life is beauty. Admire it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is a challenge. Meet it. Life is a duty. Complete it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a promise. Fulfill it. Life is sorrow. Overcome it. Life is a song. Sing it. Life is a struggle, accept it. Life is a tragedy, confront it. Life is an adventure, dare it. Life is luck, make it. Life is too precious, do not destroy it. Life is life, fight for it. I was like, whoa, this lady is an intentional lady who is powerful. And because she chose this, she took the stance and she was like, I'm going to sow into this world and I'm going to make a difference. Obviously, she's going to reap back such favor and blessing. And she did. She's not alive with us anymore. And like, she even had these other quotes, which was, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And that goes back to the thing of relationship with others. When someone else sins, by me judging and criticizing them, that completely prevents me from developing a relationship with them. Because I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's constantly judging me and finding fault with me. And then like, her other quotes are really cool because it's all about love. It's all about being genuine and just starting small to change the world. It's starting small to make your impact on this world. And like, I love this last one. It says, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. And this goes back right to the beginning to say that we are the body of Christ. Like, if I have no peace, it means that I'm not relying on my friends, my family to support me. You know, when you have a problem and you're feeling restless and unsettled, go talk to someone about it who you can trust, and just know that in this room even, you are surrounded by people who love you and are there for you to help you. Okay, so this goes on to the last kind of Galatians scriptures that I'm unpacking. And I don't feel to read all of this because it's quite long. But basically what is happening here is that Paul is writing about these people who are telling the people in the church to do these certain laws and practices. And what do we know now is that under our relationship with Jesus, it's a relationship that we set free from the law. We don't have to fulfill it. The main law we have now is Christ's law, which is to just love everyone else as you love yourself. So it's very hard because nowadays very few people understand what we have with Jesus, that it's not a religious thing where I practice certain things to get certain things back. You know, like I was thinking about it, God has made our relationship with him exactly like a human relationship. Because if I am dating Andrew, which I am, and I have a book of rules to follow, so say I'm in, like, pretend this is like your relationship with God, but understand it from my relationship with Andrew. If I have a book of rules to follow and it's like, Jen will listen to Andrew 5 minutes every day. Jen will bless Andrew, telling him how awesome he is, 20 minutes a day. And if I do all these things, Jen will bring Andrew food 365 days a year. You know, imagine if I have to do all these things to fulfill my relationship with him. Like, how lame. I want to be in that relationship, guys. Who wants to join me? No. God. God. God wants to relate to us like a normal relationship. It's like an intentional spending time with the person where I'm going to like set out an hour a day just to talk to my BBM and be like, how are you doing? What's up? Well, how's your day going? Let's make a time. Let's go on a date. Let's talk about youth. Let's talk about what God is doing. Like, it's discussion, it's conflict, it's good things, it's bad things. It's just communicating with an individual and spending time and being intentional about it. So this, I think, was really cool in terms of paralleling it to our relationship with God. That we are not called to follow rules. We're not called to live and please everyone around us. We call it to please God, that he is our number one priority, our number one relationship in life. And like, everything that I've spoken about is all rooted in this. If you have a good relationship with God, it's going to come naturally to love everybody else. It's going to come naturally to understand people. It's going to come naturally to want to be around people and just influence them positively. You won't even have to like make an effort for it. Okay. And it's a heart-to-heart connection. Like, if I know Andrew's heart and what's important to him, like, that guides the way I act. Like, If you know what's important to God, it'll guide the way you act. And like this, I realize is so relevant because if I'm in a relationship with God and he's important to me, my heart will tell me, Jen, spend time with him. Like, go and just be alone with him. Go and worship him. Go and tell him how good he is and just let him bless you and love you and remind you how special you are. Jen, don't steal that Bible and come books because I have a heart-to-heart connection. I have a heart-to-heart connection with God, and that wouldn't make him too happy, you know? It's like things you do, it'll just guide your actions because you have that connection with him that is so deep and so intimate that it'll actually change, it'll change you. Like if you think you've got things you can work on in your life and issues you want to overcome and stuff, get into a relationship with God. He will bless you. He will love you. He will connect with you. He will remind you how great you are, and your life will be changed. How can I build this heart-to-heart connection with God? Okay, firstly, he loves you. Okay, say he loves me. Give yourself a hug. He loves me. Hey, who is not giving themselves a hug? Come on, come on. Okay, make time to spend with him. A good relationship takes time. How many of us know like really cool preachers out there and we're like, whoa, they know God. They're amazing. I want to be like that. Okay, are we inspired by any of those people? Bill Johnson, Chris Vatterton. If you don't know anybody, come talk to the leaders. We'll hook you up with some preachers. But all of these guys spend time with God. They put into their relationship. If you want to have a good relationship with your friend, you spend a lot of time with her. If you want to have a good relationship with your boyfriend, with your husband, with your mom, with your dad, with your granny, your grandpa, it takes time, okay? Be intentional, like go after it. Say, I want a relationship with God. God, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to do this? Show me what to do. Show me how I can put time aside for you. He is the wellspring of life from which everything else flows, which I mentioned already, because his spirit is inside of you. So like you have everything you need already. It's your identity. Your relationship with him will just, it'll just bless you. And the Holy Spirit wants to help. Like, how cool is that? You even have a constant permanent helper who's wanting to take you deeper into the heart of God. So call on him and ask him to help you. Okay, relationships. Okay, let me just take it back quickly. So now I've kind of like ended Galatians 6. And what I want to do is I want to change the direction a little bit and just speak about relationships around us now and like how this passage can influence our relationships. And like, firstly, it's relationships equals lives changed. Like, Danny got baptized a year ago from April this year, and like, her life has been changed by God. And it's being in relationships with people and youth around us that have shaped her, that have blessed her, that have brought her to this place where she just loves Jesus so much. And in psychology, also, we learn, like in counseling, when I'm counseling somebody, it's not about my tools and my rules and my theories and how many years I've studied for. No, the relationship is the instrument for change. Like if you want to be changed, you know you have issues. Get into a friendship with somebody who you know is an influential person who can make an impact in your life and you will be changed. Like think about it. If we're in a group of friends who are not that amazing, it'll influence us. It'll change us. So do not underestimate the power of relationship. And relationship also makes it possible for us to show and receive love. It's like, again, I said it's a two-way thing. Like, I give, you give. I give, you give. I receive, you receive. We can show love, honor, acceptance, compassion, and kindness all to each other. And your relationship, through relationships with people, you have the ability to change lives. Like, how many of us want to change lives, right? We want to see the world impacted. But how do we start? It's through relationships. Like those people who are really like inspiring and like Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, you know, Nelson Mandela, they built good relationships and it just set a foundation for them. They learned, they were open, they were vulnerable, they were willing to just honor and love people, and it took them sky high. Okay, so I just thought that picture was also really cool. Like the Fusion guys are so awesome. Aren't they awesome? All of them. They're so special. Okay. Relationship equals responsibility. Like everything I've said to you now, it's not just going to happen overnight. Like you need to realize that I am in charge of my life. Like I make decisions that have powerful consequences. I can choose to ignore everything James said and then come complain to me a month from now and say, I have no friends. No one likes me. Well, okay, where's a good place to start? Let's start with you, because you are responsible for your relationships and your life. Like, it's okay. It's okay to know that you have to work on yourself. It's okay to know that you have to adjust. Like, that's a wonderful thing. I need to adjust in some areas and work on areas in my life. Like, I need to be responsible for myself and how I act around other people and what I do and what I say and stuff. So relationship is requires responsibility. Okay, how to build key relationships in Fusion. It's quite small, so I hope we can all get it. Okay, I just thought of some cool points. It's not a formula. If you do these 8 things, you will have an amazing relationship and amazing friends. No, we're all individuals, and we all have our own ways of doing things and reaching out to people, and encourage you to embrace your individuality. But these cool points really can bless you. Like number one, greet people every week. Make a conscious effort to reach out to new people and find out about them. Like just by standing at the door, like maybe one day 3 people can be like, guys, let's be on welcome duty and decide it upon yourself and be like, every person who comes into Fusion tonight, we're going to welcome them, ask them how their week was, and just bless them and say, hope you have an amazing night. Like, do you know the impact you will make on somebody else's life? Like, go out there, get out your comfort zone. Number two, challenge yourself to be confident enough to initiate conversations with people you don't usually talk to. How many of us in this room don't even know everyone's names? Ah, guys, I give you a challenge, including myself. Let's get to know everyone's names. You know, this is your space to learn. Like, if you want to learn how to be confident, go wild here in Fusion. We don't know. We don't know you, Sha. Like, just pretend you're confident. Come to Fusion regularly. Yes. Don't come complain or say, I have no friends at Fusion, if you never come. Like, that's a self-defeating behavior right there. I would identify that according to psychology. Come regularly. Get involved with things. Like, it's intentional. It's deciding, I'm going to come and I'm going to make friends. And people will love you back. It's not like, I'll do 90% and just hope that someone greets me. No, like, this is a cool environment. If you say hello to me, I'm going to say hello back. Hello. Give people's contact numbers, Facebook, BBM, the Fusion Facebook page. Like, interact with people. When you're at school, you go to different schools. Like, make an effort. Number 5, create socials. Invite people to go to the beach, to the movies, for coffee. Like, that's cool, guys. Take initiative. You are more than able to do that. Get involved in socials, helping out activities. If you come to church on Sunday mornings, you can get involved. We sometimes do things up the church, or like the church is like needing our youth help, and then we like come and we just cook boerewors and sell boerewors on the comrades, and we sell a tuck shop at night. So get involved. Like, ask us. Build relationship with your leaders. Oh, that's a good one, guys. Not the easiest one on the list, but it's a good one. If you want to grow in yourself and your relationship with other people, I really encourage you to go to a leader and say, hey, I want to build a relationship with you. Can we go out for coffee like once a month and just catch up? And lastly, have fun. Enjoy being who you are and know that God loves you. Okay. Done. Yay.